Action Radio with Alan Mitchell, a.k.a. Low Tide. Presented by Edmonton Motors.
Only on Edmonton Sports Radio.
Team 1260.
High noon on a beautiful Saturday afternoon in summertime. This is Nation Radio. We have other stories of yesterday, today, and tomorrow. Major hockey news around the world, and there is some happening today. We'll get on that in a few minutes. Nation Radio brought to you by Edmonton Motors. Your questions are welcome. Please email them to nationradioteam1260.com or Twitter at It's Nation Radio or Low Tide. I also grab questions from the comments section at both Low Tide and Oilers Nation 2. We've got great guests today. Derek Zona from Copper and Blue and NHL Numbers. Corey Pronman from NHL Prospectus. He's becoming a prospect guru on the internet, and we'll talk to him a little bit. Also, Jonathan Willis from Copper and Blue and Cult of Hockey and Oilers Nation, and Corey Graham, too, play-by-play guy from the Edmonton Oil Kings. And our in-studio guest will be Guy Flaming just around the corner. Of course, we know him from the Pipeline Show as well. Okay, the big news this week in Oilers Nation, Neil Yakupov house shopping. That tells you exactly how much we're into the dog days of summer. And I think with the CBA chatter causing stomach upset and ulcers among the fan base, it's easy kind of to get down on things. But having said that, the mind-numbing CBA negotiations can only bring us down if we let them. And I can tell you from personal experience, I was distraught in 1994 at the baseball strike, and the last NHL lockout was difficult for me, mostly because Sportsnet promised me that the Swedish Elite League would be more interesting than it actually was. They were ghastly hockey games. If you watch them, you remember, dump it in, run, get it, dump it in, run, get it. This time, I'm going to celebrate the Edmonton Oil Kings and the Oklahoma City Barons, and hockey outside the National Hockey League. Also, some soccer, Tottenham Hotspur, FC Edmonton, Ajax in soccer or football, plus the Eskimos. You know, I'm not a smart man, but I will offer this advice. It only gets you down if you let it. And the silliness of the NHL lockout is going to appear probably in the next few weeks, and it'll run its course with or without me, and this time I'm choosing without. Now, we will have guests on the show who'll talk about the CBA. Tom Lynn is coming on next week. He's an expert at the subject. And of course, negotiations and all those things. And we'll talk about that through the, as it runs its course, but we're not going to make it a big issue, and we're going to celebrate hockey, and the Oil Kings are just around the corner. We'll talk about that as well today. Canada defeated Finland 4-0, three goals from Nathan MacKinnon and one from Oil King Curtis Lazar. You know, it isn't exactly Seth Jones too, but I'm going to ask our guest today, including Guy, about the MacKinnon obviously has to be the number one overall prospect, I think, as we enter the fall time and when these things get sussed out over the next several months. Also, Puck Daddy, if you're interested, has the Edmonton Oilers essentials up today. You have to have a look. Pat McLean from Black Dog Hates Skunks and Wood Guy, who is well known around the allogosphere. They are the authors of that particular issue, and it's fabulous, great stuff. If you're a Gretzky fan, a Mac T fan, some really obscure stuff like Dave Brown, it's all on there. Check out Puck Daddy, Edmonton Oilers Essentials. And Scott Reynolds was a guest on Nation Radio last week, and we discussed Mitchell Moraz. He went out and did a wonderful comparable article this week at Copper and Blue, and the comps are impressive. And I'm not just talking about Lucic. Check it out at Copper and Blue. So there are some things you can do during the summertime if you're an Oilers fan, and those are a few that you might want to take part in. 5 minutes after 12, we welcome our first in-studio guest in a while. Probably the last time we had one was Guy Flaming, and it's Guy Flaming again. First of all, I want to say great, great summer shows. Anybody who's been listening can tell you that. But the scouts and these young kids coming in, this is great stuff.
Well, thank you for that, Al. I appreciate that. And the reason I'm your in-studio guest all the time, it's pretty hard for me to say I'm not available when I was here 5 minutes ago.
Right. So you just do this as a pity thing, eh?
Oh, no way I can get out of it.
It's either Al talks for 20 minutes or I jump in. Everyone agrees that Hlinka is the beginning of the scouting season. Why isn't it on television or radio?
Yeah, I'm not sure why, really. It's awfully hard to follow, and I'm sure there would be a lot of people that would wake up early to watch it. I for sure would. And I'm sure you would as well. So I'm a little surprised that nobody's kind of picked up on it yet.
Well, they have, like, everything is on television. I mean, you can catch a war on TV. You just tune in CNN, and this isn't available. Maybe they're one major sponsor away. Maybe it's the fact that it's such a small area of, is it Czech Republic?
It's in the Czech Republic, yeah.
Brno or something like that? Or
I think they play part of it in Prague, I think.
Okay, well, anyway, we'll get on that right away. We know MacKinnon. We know some other names. Who are some of the names at the Hlinka that we should become aware of, aside from Jones, Lazar, MacKinnon, that played well and should be on our radar now as fans?
Well, I think the netminder, Zach Fucali, in place for the Halifax Mooseheads, I think he's starting to establish himself as the top netminder for the draft next year. Eric Comrie is another one that was on the team, didn't play as much, who is going to be another goaltender of note. Max Domi is Ty Domi's kid. Small, doesn't play like his dad because this guy is all hands in another way. he's got a lot of skill. He had a 4-point game in this tournament already. So he's another guy. I don't have the list right in front of me, but there are a number of players. Jonathan Drouin, Anthony Duclair, both guys out of the queue will be first round picks, I'm sure. I thought the forward crop from this year's team was exceptionally deep. Morgan Klimchuk plays for the Regina Pats. He's going to be another one to watch for. And I think on the back end, guys like Josh Morrissey and Madison Bowie, they'll be the guys to watch for as well. So there are a number of players. I mean, you could look at this, the Canada's entry into the Ivan Hlinka pretty much every year and say all of those guys are going in the first three rounds.
Something like 17 of 22 years they've done the Hlinka, Canada wins the gold medal. It's crazy.
Well, it's because it's one of those tournaments where Canada is able to send the absolute best because there's nothing else going on, so nobody is tied up doing anything else. I mean, you look at the U18s in April, most of Canada's best players are still playing in the CHL playoffs, so you can't do it then. And the World Junior, a lot of the best guys who are available or eligible are playing in the NHL, so this is the one tournament for sure where Canada gets to send their absolute best.
I would love to see a Team Canada 1 and a Team Canada 2, because I think Team Canada 2 would work their butts off to be Team Canada 1, don't you? Like, if it was a Team 1 and they were all the best players, and then the second best would work like dogs to beat the Team 1.
Why would you have an A team and a B team, though?
Because that's the best hockey.
Wouldn't you split it east and west?
No, I don't like that at all. These guys are the number one players, and you're number two. I'd like to see
that. They'd certainly be motivated.
Yeah, absolutely. How big is the gap between, or maybe there isn't, between MacKinnon and Seth Jones?
I think it's minuscule, but I was talking to Pete Labardius on my show about this exact same thing. You go back, and how many times in the last 4 or 5 years has it been a forward followed by a defenseman in the draft? And you know, at times the defenseman there were arguments being made that the defenseman should go number one, but it never happens. You go, Drew Doughty was a great pick, but he went number two, and nobody's questioning Steven Stamkos as the first guy, and Jonathan Tavares and Victor Hedman, Ryan Nugent-Hopkins and Adam Larson. Larson bumps down to four, but nobody thinks he's a bad choice by any means. So is this going to be the similar case this year, where it's going to be MacKinnon and Seth Jones for the entire season, and there will be thoughts, Seth Jones is so good, he might be the best defenseman ever, and still goes number two? Yeah. I don't know what it is. If NHL teams just value the forward more than the defenseman, it almost seems backwards, as Pete said, with the way the defensive game is so key these days. But for whatever reason, it seems to work out that way.
We thought, and I don't want to, this is old news, but I'll ask you one more time because I still don't really have a solid answer. Leading up to the draft, there was a lot of talk about the Oilers really like Ryan Murray. Mm-hmm. As it turns out, they went with the Russian Neil Yakupov. Did we ever find out, like, to me, it might have worked, and we don't know, because Justin Schultz, I don't think, had talked to teams. But if they knew where you were getting Justin Schultz, then maybe taking Yakupov is the smart play. But there did seem to be a lot of information out there in the ether about Ryan Murray.
And the Oilers will never open up publicly and say. I've certainly made some calls to find out. I have been told that Darryl Cates had a strong voice on who they wanted to take and who they ended up taking. That's not to suggest that Stu McGregor wasn't after Neil Yakupov as well. I was told there was a lot of debate, between Ryan Murray and Griffin Reinhardt, that if they decided to go with a defenseman, that it was a near toss-up between those two. In the end, they take Neil Yakupov, and the way he's wowed people already at the development camp in the summer, I don't think there are a lot of disappointed Oilers fans right now.
I don't blame Cates either, because if I owned the team, Pouliot would be the number one center. So
he's now starring in Switzerland.
be like seven coaches. You make it work with Pouliot, or you're out of here.
Yeah.
How much are you looking forward to the season? Do you get all excited about this time? Because I got Corey Graham coming on later, and he's bouncing off the walls here. So are you a little bit the same way?
Well, I am, but for a different reason. I've become less and less an NHL guy. And, you know, you talked about how, you know, the last time there was a lockout, it was really just distressing for you. And I was the same way because I was a big NHL guy back then. But then that season we had the Edmonton Roadrunners in town. And that was, there wasn't a whole lot of media people going to watch, but I was there all the time and I got to sit with Craig Button and pick his brain all season. And I really got a lot out of that year. And that helped me become a lot more of a prospect guy.
He's a lot smarter now because of that year, too.
Yeah, well, it wasn't because he was sitting next to me, I'll tell you that. But, you know, and I was working with HF at the time, Hockey's Future. And so I became a really staunch junior and college hockey guy. And if the NHL goes on has a lockout this year, I honestly, it doesn't bother me because the Edmonton Oil Kings are a phenomenal product to watch. I love the WHL. I love going to these games. And anybody who was in the playoffs or watching the playoffs last year, I can't see how you went to any of those games and won't be back this year because they're fantastic.
It's also fun as a fan of hockey to watch. Like, I saw Gernat a couple of times early, and then I saw him. I didn't go to games for a little while, and then I saw him later on, and he had just developed, like, incredibly over a period of maybe 2 or 3 months.
Yeah.
And so you can look forward to a kid like Lazar, who really last year, from where he started to where he ended up in the playoffs. Mm-hmm. So there's always a story, you know, to follow when it comes to a junior team.
Yeah, and whether it's, you know, if you're an Oiler fan, there are 3 or 4 Oiler prospects with the Oil Kings, and maybe another 1 or 2 on the team that will be Oilers one day, you know, whether they get drafted or acquired by trade or signed as a free agent or something like that. And there are so many future stars in the NHL playing in the WHL. It's crazy. I mean, 2 years ago, Ryan Nugent-Hopkins was a star in the league, and now he's with the Oilers, and Oiler fans could have saw him 4 or 5 times a year when the Rebels came to town.
I don't want to put you on the spot and wide range here, but, you know, 2 or 3 spots will be fine. Where do you see Curtis Lazar going in the draft?
I wouldn't be at all surprised if he went top 10. I don't know that he's top 5 yet, but I think by the end of the season, he could challenge for that sort of a position. I mean, he's a big, strong guy with great hands. I don't think he's going to get into the Nathan MacKinnon, Seth Jones kind of area, but I wouldn't be surprised at all if he's a top 10 guy.
He scored a goal today. MacKinnon got 3 and he got the other one. Yeah. Oil Kings have some graduations, obviously. Pexic won't be back. Reinhardt might play those 9 games on the island, depending upon what happens with the CBA. Would that be their Achilles heel if those defensemen don't come back? Would that be the problem area?
Yeah, that is an area of strength on the team, but if you're going to lose both of those guys, I mean, that's really tough to overcome. Mark Pesic, I don't think anybody expects is going to be back, but they have... You know, Mason Gertsen is a big, tough, physical defenseman who played 30 games or so last year. He'll play a more prominent role this year. But they have a guy named Dyson Mayo who's going to come in this year. I think he's going to make the team. And Aaron Irving was a first-round pick at last year's Bantam draft. So he's going to be ready to play some this year as well. So they've got guys coming in their system. But I don't think they expect Mark Pesic back. But if they lost Griffin Reinhardt as well, and I think he's back with the Oil Kings this year. But if he does stick, that would definitely be a big loss.
Do you take me through your year? Because I listen to the show and I go online because your interview cachet is enormous.
Thank
and
you.
It's a great show for anybody who loves amateur hockey because you cover not just the Dub and the O and the Q, but the Tier 2 and then also the colleges, the U.S. colleges. So take me through your year starting like after the draft, I guess it starts, right?
Yeah, pretty much. Well, I mean, July is a tough month because for us, there's nothing going on. And then in August, all these tournaments start going, so we get going. So really, September, I mean, training camps for the CHL open here right away. The Q started yesterday with exhibition games, believe it or not.
Wow.
And then in September, there's usually NHL training camps. So we're looking at guys who might stick in that league. And the CHL season starts in mid to late September, and college starts in October. Then you've got the World Junior at Christmas time. The Frozen Four is in early April. CHL playoffs, Memorial Cup. Then the draft, NHL Combine, there's lots of stuff.
How well do you get to know you had Morrow and Samuelson in here. How do you get to know them as people, or is it just on-ice stuff that you look at?
No, that's the attempt. We want to introduce them a little bit more and kind of get to know them a bit more for fans that are tuning in. How many times can you ask, which player do you think you play like, and what kind of things are you trying to improve on? after a while, I think those questions get boring for me as a as the guy asking them the questions, and I'm sure they get tired of answering them. So you try to do something a little bit different, get to know them a little bit better, and you know, talk to them what they like to do away from the game and things like that. So we try to branch out a little bit more and get to know them a bit more on a human level.
And your partner's back sometime in the next 6-8 months?
As a matter of fact, I know he's going to be back on Tuesday night show.
Oh,
so.
Excellent. Well, that's good. Because I sort of remember what he looks like, but it's what have you got coming up on Tuesday show?
I believe we are going to have a couple of agents come in studio with us on Tuesday for an hour. So we're looking forward to that one as well. And whatever else we got going will be planned between now and then.
Do you think, and I'm just asking this, I don't know, and it's not really even a fair question because, you know, you may not know the answer, but do you think there's a like a significant gag order on these guys as far as the CBA negotiations are concerned?
Well, we'll find out. I'm guessing they're probably not going to be talking a whole lot. Although, you know, you follow guys on Twitter, or at least I do, some of the agents, and some of them are pretty outspoken with their thoughts and opinions. So I guess we'll see what happens on Tuesday.
The other one, and this is the final question, the OHL, is it Windsor? They got nicked a little bit here. So are the other, because, you know, I mean, I follow the London Knights, they're the Shrimp era, and then obviously, you know, Gagné went there and Kane, and you know, you hear stories. I don't want to be, you know, implying things that aren't, you know, true or proven, but you do hear stories. Are the other OHL teams kind of shaking in their boots right now?
I think there have to be a few, and London is probably one of them. You know, I've talked to, and again, this is all just based on what you're hearing, and it's not fact, and certainly not trying to imply anything, but London is a team that seems to find ways to get, they never seem to have a weak season. And, you know, whether that's because teams are just, or players are attracted to play for the Hunters, who knows? Sam Gagné went there, he left the USHL to play in London, and the year he did, his dad happened to be an assistant coach there. You know, is that a coincidence? You know, I'm not saying Sam Gagné got paid to go, but, you know, is that a trade-off of some sort? That and then his dad, a couple years, I think he was only there 2 years, and then he joined Vancouver. So I think there are things like that go on, and I don't know necessarily that those are wrong things, but what Windsor has allegedly done is definitely against the rules, and if there are other teams that have done so, whether it's through getting American players or with the import draft, I think that might be the bigger issue. I think there are probably some teams, not just in the O, but in the Q and the Dub, that might be a bit nervous.
I lied. Just one final one.
Sure.
There's no chance Yakupov could be transferred in any way to the Oil Kings. Okay.
I don't know where that came from.
I don't know. I got like 4 or 5 emails and texts on that this morning. I'm like, I don't think they've ever done that. The last guy to play in 2 leagues, I think, was Dave Schultz, and he got booted out of one.
Yeah. No, the only way you go from one league to another is if you get released in one league by your team and you basically clear waivers through, like, Jacob Deceres was a goalie with Brandon, who was cut by that team. Nobody else in the Dub picked him up. He went and played for St. John and got to the Memorial Cup and won in St. John. And, I mean, those are the only way. And Sarnia is not cutting Yakupov. No. And if they do, he's not getting waived through the league.
He'd probably make that club.
I think he would.
Guy, thanks a lot. Appreciate it, man.
Anytime, Al.
Guy Flaming from the Pipeline Show will take a break. This is Nation Radio, brought to you by Edmonton Motors.